The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says 'you fool' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Entering into the kingdom of heaven is the goal of Christianity. It's what your Creator wants. Because in His kingdom, life is spent forever in His care. God has been working to bring humanity back into a right relationship with Him in His kingdom ever since Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's often assumed that since we Christians believe that we can't earn salvation through works, then our actions don't really carry any eternal weight. Or we carry the mentality that we can do whatever we want because God's forgiveness is my backup plan after all my sinning is done. And as a good Lutheran, I know we're justified by grace through faith and not by my works, not by anything I do. For some, it's almost as if faith is an excuse to follow the works of the flesh rather than following the works of God. Listen to the words of the Son of God as He shares how we enter into the kingdom of heaven. "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." We need a righteousness that's greater than the greatest law keepers of Jesus' day. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness means following the will of God. And God's will is expressed in the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament reading. "You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet." To keep these is to be righteous in the sight of God. Because your conduct is perfectly lived out towards God and neighbor. But we just need to keep it better than the Pharisees. easy competition, right? The Pharisees strictly kept the Mosaic law. They would be very careful not to break any of these commandments, lest they lose favor with God. And it's not like any of them would forget the 613 moral, ritual, and ceremonial laws in the first five books of the Bible. Because since they were religious leaders, they probably had the first five books of the Bible memorized. So to outperform that righteousness, is a tall task. We're already losing a fighting battle. But then Jesus ups the stakes. He reinterprets the Mosaic law to his disciples, giving new meaning to how they should live. Jesus says, "You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire." This can fix and kills all of us. If you've ever been angry with someone, it could be shown up again on Judgment Day. If you've ever insulted someone in anger or hate, you're liable to judgment for it. Worst of all, if you call someone a fool because you're bitter about something they've done, then the hell of fire may be your judgment sentence. Our righteousness is hopeless. There's no way our conduct and right behavior could possibly exceed the Pharisees, much less Jesus' reinterpretation of the fifth commandment. We can't even keep the one commandment that we all think would be easy to check off the list, the fifth commandment, to not kill anyone, to not murder. But Jesus has given an even stricter interpretation of the law. How could Jesus do this? Why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus demand a righteousness he knew we couldn't keep? The only righteousness that exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, that is actually able to fulfill these incredible fifth commandment standards, is the righteousness of Christ. The fulfiller and upholder of the law. The only one whose conduct and behavior is truly God-pleasing. The only one who has perfect, sinless, untainted righteousness. The key to understanding this is in Jesus' words in verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In Jesus' life and death, in his ministry and preaching, Jesus upholds his Father's will perfectly. And he fulfills it. He willingly went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And through the cross, Jesus has completed and satisfied the will of God, thus securing true righteousness, which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Only through this heavenly righteousness lived by Jesus can we be saved. And it's given to you freely as a gift. Jesus himself underwent baptism to fulfill all righteousness. And since he's cleansed the baptismal waters with his holiness and righteousness, we receive the gift of holiness and righteousness that he's left for us in those cleansing baptismal waters. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. So since we've been connected to Jesus through our baptism, our sin, unrighteousness, anger, insults, and hatred towards our neighbor is drowned. It's been put to death with Jesus on the cross. It no longer enslaves you, and you are free to live apart from your anger. You're free to live apart from hatred and insults towards others. You're free from the state of depravity you constantly find yourselves in. You're free to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own man-made righteousness. God has made you righteous before God through faith, because Christ alone is our righteousness, who is the object of our faith. Said another way, Christ and his perfect righteousness is the gift our faith receives. Unfortunately, some people never unwrap the wrapping paper from this wonderful gift. They've been given the gift, but never open it. Or they open it, use it for a while, but would rather play with poison over here than the perfect gift that they received and putting it to good use. See, faith isn't merely a knowledge of history that, sure, Christ died for me because he's died for the world. But faith believes and receives Christ's perfect righteousness. And that when confessed, our unrighteousness is forgiven. That's called the blessed exchange, when God takes away your unrighteousness and gives you his own righteousness. When we receive this righteousness, our life changes. See, because then we can see God's law as a gift, not a burden. Because Christ fulfills the law and abolishes it. Christ didn't fulfill the law to get rid of it and say it has no value anymore. But rather, the law remains because godly righteousness wants to live in that law. Those transformed by Christ's righteousness shouldn't want to continue in sin that grace may abound. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Your righteousness, which saves you, comes from God. It's a gift. And this righteousness isn't measured quantitatively, but qualitatively and relationally. because Christ gifts you his righteousness and has a relationship with you through the forgiveness of sins here. Your righteousness exceeds the scribes and Pharisees because of the source of your righteousness, which is your sinless, crucified, and risen Savior. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.